Luke, the 11th chapter, we began, I guess, two Sundays ago or so, on a new series. Anybody know what we're calling it? Teach Us to Pray is the name of it. That's a quote from the scripture. Teach Us to Pray. Luke 11, 1, and I'm reading in the Young's literal translation. Luke 11, 1, it says, it came to pass in his being in a certain place praying, Jesus was praying. As he ceased, a certain one of his disciples said to him, Sir, teach us to pray, as also John taught his disciples. We talked about this last week, that Jesus did a lot of praying, a lot of praying. And his disciples and those closest to him were so impressed with how he prayed, and no doubt they saw the results too. Well, they're saying, teach us how to do what you're doing here in praying. How many would agree we have not learned all there is to know about praying? Oh, dear me. So would you pray the same prayer? Lord, teach me to pray. Go ahead, say it out loud. Lord,
teach us to pray.
Like you did. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what they're talking about. Like he did. And so if you skip over to Matthew, the 6th chapter, Matthew 6 and verse 5, Jesus was talking about prayer here. This is some of the same things, but it's Matthew's account. And so in teaching them and us how to pray, one of the first things he did was tell us how not to pray. Don't pray like this. And you can really begin to see why, because there's a whole lot of praying that is absolutely useless. People would be better off if they didn't do it at all. Because you'll see people say, somebody say something about prayer, and people get almost reverent and go, oh yeah, yeah, prayer. I believe in prayer. Well, no. Prayer is not prayer. What are you talking about exactly? Prayer to who? The Bible said if you ignore the law, your prayer is abhorrent. Your prayer is an abomination if you ignore the scripture. Wow. That's strong. If the Lord tells you something and you know what he said in his will and you turn around and pray something else, that's rebellion. That's defiance. So that ain't a good prayer. You'd have been better off not praying that prayer. And the Lord's not interested in hearing us beg night and day. He doesn't get some kind of distorted pleasure out of, no, you know, you can beg better than that. No, I mean, show me some serious begging. Groveling. Come on, I know you can. What kind of being would enjoy somebody just begging and groveling before them? That would indicate something questionable about his character. Oh no, he's a good father. I said he's a good father. He's a good father. He doesn't want you doing that. So should we learn about prayer? What prayer is? Proper prayer? How to pray? Prayers that can get answers. I mean, what good does it do if you pray, and nothing happens? And that's why a lot of folks don't pray. Because they prayed and it didn't work. They prayed and hoped and it didn't happen. So they quit. And get mad at God. Well, that's being presumptuous. Did it never occur to you it might be something you did wrong? It has to be God's fault. You know, for sure you are the most inexperienced one of the two. Right?
Yep. That's right.
That's right. Matthew 6, 5, when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues, in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. There's a lot of folks, they never pray in private. They only pray where they'll be seen and heard. And the Lord is saying, do not pray like that. Don't do that. He said, I'm telling you, they have their reward. In other words, somebody seeing them and go, ooh, wasn't that a nice prayer? That's all they'll ever get out of that prayer. They won't get answers, etc. So, verse 6, but you, when you pray, enter into your closet. That means you have one. And when you shut the door, that's a walk-in closet. Pray to the Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. Pray privately. Well, then you're not praying for anybody else's benefit. You're not praying for anybody to see you or hear you. Now, you're not going to do that unless you really believe in God. Mm-hmm. Unless you believe God is real and He's somebody you want to talk to, somebody that will listen to you, somebody that would answer a prayer. If you don't believe those things, you're not going to do this when nobody's watching. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But if you do believe it, if it's real to you, then you'll spend hours. Yes. Just you. People would say, well, they're in there by themselves again. Actually, you're not by yourself. Huh? When you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think they're wrong, but they think they'll be heard for their much speaking. So you don't want to just pray by rote. You don't want to pray the same phrases over and over and over again, thinking, well, I'm putting in time praying, and if I say it enough, it'll happen, it'll make the difference. Jesus said, don't do that. Do you want to hear somebody? Huh? Bugging you day after day, saying the same phrase, please help me. What would you think? Stop. Quit. I heard you the first time. Right? Now you're laughing, but do you know how many millions of people do this? They pray the same phrases over and over and over and over and over and over, and it's right here plain. Matthew 6, Jesus said, don't do it. So what do we say? Okay, let's not do it. Right? So, we're beginning to answer some questions about why pray, what prayer is, and how to pray. These are three of the big ones, right? Wouldn't you agree? What is prayer? Not according to somebody's religious idea, according to the Bible, according to the Word, according to Jesus, according to God. What is prayer? We're going to touch on that today. But then also, we've already started talking about why should we pray. We got into that quite a bit last week. One of the big reasons why we should pray, the Lord told us to. He told us to repeatedly. He told us pray, watch and pray. When you pray, not if you pray, when you pray. Did the Lord tell us to pray?
Yes.
And in the Spirit of God, through the writers of the epistles, John, Peter, Paul, instructing us to pray. Pray without ceasing. Right? I will that men pray everywhere. Lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I mean, the list goes on and on. Would you agree with me that the Lord told us to pray?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Then that'd be reason enough right there. He told you to pray, so what?
Pray.
You pray. Hallelujah. And one of the reasons that goes along with that, we see Jesus prayed a lot. And He's our example. So if you're going to be a Christian, which means a Christian, then you want to do what He did. Live the way He lived. Well, He prayed. He prayed every day. Sometimes pray all night long. Now what we need to understand is why? Why did He do that? Is it really necessary? I think we can answer that question if He did it. Right? It wasn't a waste of time. It wasn't unnecessary. So look with me, or they'll put it on the screen for us. 1 John 2. 1 John 2 and 6. 1 John 2, 6 says, "He that says he abides in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." Now I'm going to read this to you from some other translations. Amplified says, "Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk and conduct himself in the same way in which he walked and conducted himself." I had somebody get mad at me some years ago about something I had preached and said. And they wanted to let me know. They said, "You're just trying to act like Jesus." I said, "I thought that was the idea. Don't you? That's the idea." "Yeah, but if you do, it'll make some people upset."
Amen.
"Hmm? You got a better example for me to follow? Better example for me to act like?" All of us should be endeavoring to walk in his footsteps and do what he did. Think like he thought. Speak like he spoke. Pray like he prayed. Live like he lived. Is it possible?
Yes.
It is possible. That's what he told us. He said, "If you believe on me, the works I do, you'll do also.
Amen.
And greater works than these shall you do. Because I go to be..." If he had stayed and continued on, the works would have just got greater and greater and greater and greater. But he wasn't here just to do that. He was here to show us how to do it, and then to give himself as the sacrifice. Well, he did show us how to do it. So do not, when you're reading the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, do not put what Jesus did in a category unattainable to you. He did it as a man, not as God. Now, he didn't stop being God, but the Bible teaches he emptied himself of his mighty weight and power and glory and became like other men. Philippians 2 describes this. And so, if he did what he did as God, how can I think I'm going to do it? I can't believe that. But if he did it as a man, anointed with the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, with the authority of the Son of God, and he would anoint me with that same Spirit, and he would authorize me with that same name, I can see the glorious possibilities, woo, of thinking like he thought, speaking like he spoke, praying like he prayed, living like he lived. Huh? It's possible. So never take any man or woman, no matter how much you love and respect them, and set them up as your ultimate example. That's too low. If you're a serious child of God and there's a man of God or woman of God that you respect and think a lot of, the reason you do is because to some degree they're like him. But nobody has arrived at total Christ-like perfection, and if you try to imitate them too much, you'll wind up duplicating their faults as well. You don't want to do that. Go on and lift up your sights higher. Hallelujah. Forgetting those things that are behind and reaching toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. What is that? It's being like him. It's being just like him. And the great thing about it, even if you endeavored to be like him yesterday and you really messed up and you were not remotely like him, because of the blood of the Lamb, you can start with a clean slate. Hallelujah. Today, and you just don't quit.
Right.
Hallelujah. And day after day and month after month, and next thing you know, somebody that hadn't seen you for a while, they go, "Man, you have changed. What's going on with you?" Well, you're more like Jesus. Talking more like him, acting more like him. Hallelujah. And truth is, we've got eternity to do this. It doesn't end in this world, in this life. So, Goodspeed translation says, whoever says I'm always in union with him. Now that's another way of saying abiding in him. Always in union with him must live just as he lived. So this word abide is a key word in understanding prayer. Abide. It literally means stay. And it's like if somebody asks you where you live, where do you live? And in some cultures, they'll say, where do you stay? Huh? Where do you stay? Well, that's where you abide. Abiding, where you abide, is not where you visit.
Amen.
Where you abide is not where you visit, it's where you live. It's where you stay. Are we okay? And this is key to the kind of prayer that gets results, that pleases God. Go with me, if you would, to John, the 15th chapter. John chapter 15. Well, I'll tell you what, on your way there, stop by 1 Corinthians. Yeah, I was moving a little bit too fast. I figured I was. Stop by 1 Corinthians 1, 9. Did you know that every believer, not just preachers now, every believer is called, has a call. Not just preachers. Every believer. And there is a primary call before other calls. In 1 John, the first chapter, and the ninth verse. 1 Corinthians. What are y'all laughing about? 1 Corinthians 1:9. And you know, this is a phrase we shout about frequently, right? God is faithful. Is he?
Yes.
Oh, you can count on it. God is faithful by whom you were called. And when he says ye, he's talking about the whole church at Corinth. He's talking about everybody that this is going out to, including us. You're called to what? Fellowship. You're called to the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Somebody say, call to fellowship. See, true Christianity is not this dead ritualistic thing that a lot of people have fallen into. True Christianity is living fellowship with God. And man, there is nothing dead about that. There is nothing boring about that. There's nothing laborious and limiting about that. Said out loud, I've been called to fellowship. That's the primary call of your life before everything. Are y'all with me, child of God? Before everything. No matter what kind of ministry you think you're called to, if you don't get this right, you won't have much of a ministry. Or any ministry at all. You know, I'm ministering to you right now. And I'm thankful that we have something to minister. You know where I got it? Hanging out with him. Every good thing I ever got, I was fellowshipping with him. I was communing with him. And he showed me. He gave it to me. He clarified it. He corrected it. He instructed. Huh? That's where I got it. Is he your father too?
Yes.
Will he give you things too?
Yes.
You know it. Only if you choose to fellowship with him. If you choose to commune with him. And it's just, it's exactly like fellowshipping with any human person. You know, there's all kind of, you can accept all kind of reasons not to do it. And you can say you're too busy for this and that, and you can go days and weeks and months and not spend any time together and no communion. And what happens is you lose closeness, don't you?
Yes,
over a period of time, you're not current with everything that they're doing, and they're not current with what you're doing. And have you ever, you know, maybe somebody you were close to in high school or something, you know, way back in the day, and you hadn't seen them in 30 years, and you see them, and you go, I saw somebody that way, it was a few months ago, and his name's Morris. Morris, man, and man, we, back in the day, we got into some stuff, and I said, hey, Morris, and he said, hey, and how's it going, man, you doing all right? Yeah, and your folks, and yeah, and yours, and in about 3 minutes, you're out of stuff to say. You're like, man, it's good seeing you. And they go, yeah, it's good seeing you. And no, zero communion for years. Huh? Why? Because communion and fellowship has to do with sharing. Sharing. Them sharing with you. You sharing with them. Talking to, listening, communing. A picture of it is having a meal together. That's a picture of it. Because if we're sitting down at the same table and we're eating the things that's on the table, then as we're eating, the same things wind up in all of us at the same table. Can you see that? Because we're sharing that dressing. We're sharing that bowl of potato salad. Making somebody hungry. We're sharing that crispy fried chicken. We're sharing that fresh homemade bread. We're sharing that fried peach pie. We're sharing. What am I saying? Then the same things wind up in all of us that were there. Well, when you commune with God, here's the great thing. Yeah, you can share with Him, and you have things to give Him that He will receive. That's one of the most amazing things that there is, that you and I could have anything that the Creator of the universe, who already has everything, would even receive or value, but it's exactly like this. Your little one, your daughter, your son, I'm talking about your little one, they may be 3 years old, and they ain't the greatest artist in the world, and they took their crayons, and they worked you up a picture, and they put their mark on it, and they told you what it was, and they gave it to you. And if an adult handed you that, you would laugh and throw it in the trash. But because of who it is, you go, oh, baby, ain't that pretty? That's so pretty. And you put it on the refrigerator.
Yes.
Is that right? Leave it up. Why? Well, see, your father's that way. If you genuinely look at him, and without any hypocrisy or junk or phoniness, you tell him you love him, he knows it.
Yes,
if it's right in your heart, it means something to him.
Yes, sir.
To the Creator of the universe.
Yes.
There's billions of people down here. But I'm telling you, he knows you. He knows your name. He knows the number of hairs on your head.
Yes, sir.
And if you genuinely want to thank him, you genuinely want to tell him you believe in him, you genuinely want to tell him you love him, he will receive it. And value it like a parent does a little child. Hallelujah. But that's just one direction. In communion, it goes both ways. Communion is not a monologue. Communion is not a one-sided conversation. in communion, when as you're communing with Him, what's in Him gets in you. Oh, hallelujah. And as you behold Him, you are changed. Hallelujah. From glory to glory. Even by the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the living God. You remember Moses went up on the mount to do what? Because God called him up there. To do what? Come up here. Talk to me. Listen to me. He was with him close 40 days. Hallelujah. And something got in him. So hanging out that close to God for 40 days, when he came down on the mount, he looked like a light bulb. I mean, light was just coming out of his face. And why? He was close to the glory. He was close to God. Doing what? Doing what? Listening to him. Talking to him. Listening to him. You could call it prayer. Right? What is prayer? I'm going to give you what I believe is a master definition of prayer. Prayer is communion with the Creator. Hallelujah. Prayer is fellowship with the Father. Now don't religiousize it. Turn it into something else. Huh? Everybody say it out loud. Prayer.
Prayer.
Real prayer.
True prayer,
is communion, with the Creator. This is big.
Yes, sir.
This is big because He's also called the Father of spirits. You and I are more than bodies. We are spirit. We have a soul and a mind, and we live in a body. But we come from Him. The spirit substance that we are, that is our existence, it comes out of Him. It's part of Him. He's the Father of spirits. And as such, He created us for a purpose. We'll never know what that is if we don't spend any time with Him. He had a plan for our lives, start to finish, before we were ever born. That doesn't mean you have to ever do any of it. But He has a plan. You'll never be happy and fulfilled doing anything else. You'll never be successful doing anything else. But you'll never find out what it is unless you spend some time with Him, commune with Him, fellowship with Him. And being a spirit coming from Him, you know, when we were born, our parents were involved in our body, but not they didn't create our spirit. Your spirit came from God. And so when you were born, conceived, your spirit came into your body. And when you die, your spirit leaves your body and goes back to God, where it came from. And so there's something in you that cries out deep, calling out to deep, spirit to spirit. Now you can ignore it and be so fleshly that you never think about anything else. But if you'll get quiet and you listen and focus, the inner part of you, yourself, wants to reach out to God.
Right.
Wants to commune with God. Wants, oh, that's one of the biggest hungers of your life. And that's why I said it is your first call.
Yes.
Before any ministry, before anything else, you are called, I am called to fellowship with the Father and with His Son, hallelujah, by His Holy Spirit. Is this okay, saints? Hallelujah. And this is prayer. And there is nothing dead and boring about it when you do it right. 2 Corinthians 13:14 makes mention of this phrase. 2 Corinthians 13:14. It says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. And the what?
Fellowship.
Communion. Same words, fellowship. Communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Somebody say communion.
Communion.
Communion with God. Communion with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say it again. What is prayer? Communion with the Creator. Fellowship with the Father. That's what prayer is. Don't limit it. It's bigger than a handful of technical definitions. Ephesians, for instance, mentions half a dozen different kinds of prayer. It's just like when you're talking with a human being. How many different ways can you go communing with them? Mm-hmm. We have no idea how many different ways you could go. But it all, generally speaking, is us being close enough. And the word implies private communion. Or talking to somebody in private. Communing is like, you know, let's talk over here. And away from the crowd and just you and them. That's the implication. And isn't that how Jesus prayed? We saw last week he'd get away from the crowd and spend time communing. One more time, what is prayer?
Communion,
communion with the Creator. You know, what a thought to think that you could approach Him, the one that made the heavens, all the planets, all the stars, created life, created human beings, and you could come boldly before the throne of grace and say, Father, I want to talk to you. And Him call your name and say, I'm glad you're here. Talk to me. Let's talk. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And man, you really do it right, an hour will pass like that.
Yeah.
You really do it right, you can get to the point where half a day will pass. You're like, oh, but you'll be the better for it. Oh man, you'll come out having answers for the next 6 months.
Right.
Are y'all with me?
Yep.
You'll come out knowing the enemy's traps and avoiding all that. But the bigger thing, you know what makes heaven heaven? It's not just the jeweled walls and the gold streets. It's the presence of the Almighty God. That's what makes heaven heaven. And hell, what makes hell hell is the lack of it. The lack of light and life and joy and peace. We've had a taste of joy and peace from God. Just a taste. But oh man, outside this life with Him, it's completely unlimited, unrestricted, and we'll be in a condition where we could actually participate in it without it consuming our mortal bodies. But you don't need for it to be a shock to your system. You want to get acquainted with Him now.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
So you have some experience fellowshipping with Him when you get there.
Amen.
Go to John now, please. 15th chapter. John 15, verse 1. This is Jesus speaking. And if you want to quickly get more up to speed on prayer, read John 14, 15, 16, and 17. 14 through 17. Read it, not fast, don't speed read it or scan it, but read it. And then at some point, open your Bible to John 17. This is Jesus' actual words while He prayed. And kneel down with the Bible and pray with Him. Those words. This will help you. But 14, 15, 16, 17. Well, this is right in the middle of this, chapter 15. And you'll see part of what I'm talking about in a moment. But He said, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, or He's the farmer, or the vineyard caretaker. Now, the Lord used natural examples to explain spiritual things and how they work. And you'll never improve on this comparison of how it works. So whatever He's about to explain to us, it works exactly like a vine and a branch, are like a trunk and a limb. He said, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. He's the one that's operating, controlling the vineyard, our farmer. Verse 2, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Well, any good vineyard owner, orchard owner, that's what they're going to do.
Yes, sir.
Right? That's just... Because why have an orchard that produces no fruit?
That's right.
What good is that? And why have a vineyard that produces no grapes? And so you don't want your vine loaded down with dead stuff, holding it back from producing fruit. So at a certain, at the right time, you're going to prune it.
Amen.
That's not being mean. Huh? That's helping the living branch. Verse 3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. The Lord's words will wash you. They'll wash your mind.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. You know, sometimes doing business in the world and dealing with unbelievers and all the junk, by the time end of the day, you can feel like you need a shower. And you do. But not just a water shower, you need a word shower.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And listening to the word will wash you. It'll wash you. Hallelujah. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Verse 4. Abide in me. There's that word. Now what have we found out that word abide means? Stay. Live. Not visit. Occasionally. But live. What's he saying? Live in me. Live in me. Is this more than Sunday morning service? Live in me. And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. You can't have any fruitfulness in life, any success in good things in life, produce any good things in life on your own.
Amen.
You can't. I can't. Why? Because I'm not the trunk. I'm not the vine. I'm a branch. How good, how well does a branch do without the vine? How well does a branch do without the trunk? Not at all. Right? A branch, you can't have nothing on this end of the branch and nothing on this end of the branch and fruitfulness. Just budding and blooming and it's got to be connected, right? Got to be connected to the vine. Stay in me. Should we heed the Lord's words? Stay in me. Live in me. How often is that? Well, does this go along with pray without ceasing? Yeah. Stay in me. And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. Verse 5. I am the vine, in case you didn't get it the first time. I am the vine, you are the branches. So let's go over that again real slow. Everybody say it out loud. He is the vine.
He is the vine.
I'm not the vine.
I'm not the vine.
You're not the vine.
You're not the vine.
Only he.
He is the vine.
I am a branch. And man, it is the greatest honor of all to be a branch on this vine, but I'm not the vine. I do not produce my own life. I can't produce any fruit by myself. He that abides in me, he keeps using that word. What does it mean? He that lives in me, he that stays in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, how much can you do?
Nothing.
And on the one hand, you can say it like this. You can do some stuff, but you know what it amounts to? Nothing. Because the only thing a disconnected branch could produce is deadness. The branch doesn't generate the life. Am I still talking about prayer? What is prayer? Communion with the Creator. Fellowship with the Father. What's fellowship? Staying in. Living in. Is that right? Talking to, listening to, sharing, and receiving with who? God, the Creator. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. Long as you're connected to him, not just visiting, but living. A living, continuous. How often does the branch need to be connected to the vine? Huh? What if you said, I tell you what, I don't have time for that, but I'm going to disconnect. And, you know, once a week, I'm going to connect for a few minutes. But then I'm going to disconnect. And how well will you do?
Not well.
Well, you know, and some folks, they go, well, I don't have time much for that, but I will connect on Easter and Christmas. But the rest of the time, well, they're going to be dried up and dead and no good fruit of any kind. And they can produce a bunch of stuff, but it amounts to nothing, especially when you consider eternity. Nothing. No, how often do we need to be connected? Come on, help me out. Huh? How often does the branch need to stay connected to the tree and what's in the tree trunk flowing through the branch and a circulation from the branch and the tree? It's just like, you know, your arm.
Right?
How well would my arm do separated from my body? That's it. It's not going to do anything. And that's one of the examples the Lord gives of the church is the body of Christ, just like the human body. Verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he's what he's talking about, what happens? He's cast forth as a branch and is what?
Withered.
Withered. Why are so many people so dry? So dry. So bored, so unhappy, so dissatisfied, so Sahara Desert dry. Huh? No communion. No communion with the source. And it's great to commune with people and good people, but they're not God. They can't do for you what he can do. Huh? No. Nobody can replace time with him. You can say, well, you know, you pray for me and tell me what he said. That's not you being connected to the vine. You trying to get some second hand. Nope. He said, verse 7. This was one of my father in the faith, Kenneth Hagin's favorite verses about prayer. He would teach whole series about prayer from this verse. And you can really see why. These are the words of the master, the head of the church. He said, if, so that's conditional, if you abide in me, tell me what abide means. If you live in him, if you stay in him, and my words abide or live or stay in you. Well, How can His words abide in you and you never go to church? You never open a Bible? You don't even know what His word is. Which is one of the reasons why everybody at Faith Life Church reads their chapter every day, Monday through Friday, and you come to church and you come to meetings, and what? You do that as a way of living, a way of living, not just visiting, but a way of life. What happens? Over a period of time, His words get in you. I said His words get in you and they begin to live in you. Because His words are alive. They're not dead words. They're alive. And what will happen as you're going through life, everything that comes up, a scripture will come to you. About everything. Everything that comes up, one of His words will come to you. Or a phrase from Him, or truth in His word. It'll come to you, it'll come to you, it'll come to you. It's how you live. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. Now see, this is not some carnal person that never prays and never comes to church, never opens the Bible, that just asks anything they want to and it'll happen to them. He didn't say that. So does this begin to explain why a lot of people that have no time for God and they prayed a prayer and it didn't happen and they got mad at God? But He didn't say that anybody that asked anything would have it. He never said that. And there's a lot of prayers God can't even hear. He can't even receive. Why? It's totally contrary to what He said. But they wouldn't know that if they never have no interest in His word. Back during COVID, the Lord spoke something to me, personal and direct. He said, Keith, in this world, people are continuously asking me for things. Well, man, you know that's true, don't you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So people all over the world, you know, are. He said, they're continually asking me for things. He said, but most of them are not interested in my things. Huh? Yeah. Did you hear that?
Yes.
They're not interested in His things. Well, that's a problem. That's a problem. Why? Because you didn't create yourself. God doesn't exist just to support you. Right? He created you. You and I owe our every breath in existence to Him. We're to serve Him. We should ask and say, what do you want? Is that right? Because I wouldn't even exist without you allowing me to and enabling me, quickening me every millisecond. So why do I exist? Actually, the Bible said all things were created for His pleasure. For what pleases Him. So I don't want to be those that's just always asking for something but have no interest in His things. Somebody said out loud, I am interested in the things of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, you've got to make it a point to try to find out what they are. So He said, if you abide, if you live, if you stay in me, and my words live and stay in you, in that case, you will ask whatever you will. Why? Because your will has come into agreement with His will. Come on, can you see this? Because of living with Him day in and day out, you're getting to know Him and learning how He thinks and what He wants and what He doesn't want and all these kind of things. And so you start praying in line with His word, which is His will, and even your will and your desires are coming in line with His, and then whatever you pray like that, it shall be done to you. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Let's see. Go. There's a verse here that I'm missing. Go to 1 John. 1 John, the 5th chapter. Put John 15. That. Thank you, Lord. You're okay where you are, but put John 15, 16 on the screen because I wanted you to see John 15, 16. This is the part of that same passage about abiding in Him. Same one we just read, verse 7. Jesus said, "You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain." This is something that lasts. Lasts past this life. "That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." Is that prayer? But what did it start off with? Abiding. Communing. Abiding. Tell me again, what is prayer? Communion with the Creator. Fellowship with the whose Father? My Father. The Father of my Lord Jesus Christ. The Father of all the family of God and my very own Father. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
I had a whole section laid out about how Abraham communed with God, and Adam and Eve communed with God, and Enoch communed with God, and Noah communed with God, and we don't have any time for that. But maybe you could come back, right? Because what I'm saying, that's how it's always been. From the beginning. In fact, before the fall of man, before sin, you know what they had? God had come down in the cool of the day. Is that right? And what would they do? Fellowship. Commune. Talk. Listen with each other. You know. These are not, what is it? Cro-Magnon or whatever? Ape-like creatures grunting with no intelligence. Don't believe that junk. Don't believe that junk. These are beautiful beings. Adam was beautiful. Eve was beautiful. And brilliant. Brilliant. This is before sin. This is before anything to dull them or confuse them or any of that kind of stuff. So they're talking with God and communing with Him, not grunting. Ooh. Adam would say, "God, that sunset, we don't even know what it looked like because it was before, well, everything was different and it was perfect." But you can be assured, what we're seeing now in its fallen condition is pretty. It's hard to imagine what it was like before the fall. But they're sitting there looking at it, enjoying a sunset with God. The weather is perfect. The humidity is perfect. Everything's perfect. The little breeze coming through, perfect. Perfect. And why'd God make them? What is he doing all this? You see, He made them, and then He shows up and hangs out with them. And Adam says, "God, that sunset, how'd you do that?" He explained it to them, and they understood it. Y'all with me? This is communion. This is communion. And this is what's available to us in true prayer. So He said, abide in Him. His words abide in you. And whatever you ask, it'll be done. That's prayer. 1 John 5 and 14. 1 John 5 and 14 says, "This is the confidence that we have in Him, You know, one of the things that marked Jesus so differently from the other Bible teachers of the day, the Pharisees and doctors of the law, those kind of thing, they said he teaches with authority. What do you mean? It's the same today. How were they teaching? They were teaching theory. It could be. It might be. So-and-so has put forth this theory. And they talk both kind of ways. Not Jesus. He said, it's like this. No, you mean it could be? Uh-uh. It is. Like this. Well, who does he think he is? Somebody who knows. And that's what he says here. This is the confidence that we have in him. You know, when the scripture tells us to pray for boldness, he's not saying pray for pushiness.
Right.
Why are you bold? Why would you be bold? You're bold because you're sure. You're sure because you know. Not wondering, not guessing, not trying to figure it out. Could be, might be, maybe, we'll see. No. No. This is how it is. Yeah, but what? No, what if? It is. And when you hear from God and you have it is written, it is true. It is right. And you can quit theorizing. Did you know what confusion is? The result of considering too many things. That's right. You know? We went to the Southwest meeting the other day, and Dave, our associate, went with us. And when we flew in, close to the airport is a place called Babes. Babes has no menu. Huh? Because you can either have fried chicken, or you could get some fried chicken. No menu. And when they come to the table, they just say, do you want some? Even the sides are the same. So you just say, yeah, we'll take three. Because as soon as we landed, somebody said something about eating, and Dave from the back seat said, babes, babes. We said, yeah, okay, babe. We knew that. We knew that. We like it too. But we did not spend 20 minutes about, you know, what we're going to order. Because there was nothing else to consider. Makes it easy, right? When there's only one choice on the menu, I'll have some. Done. Is that right? Done. Well, confusion is the result of considering too many things. When the Lord tells you something, there should be nothing else to consider. Right? And if you just accept that in its simplicity and have confidence and go, well, this is it, then you won't be confused because you're not considering anything else. Keeps you safe. Keeps you right. And the devil, what will he do? He'll say, has God said? Yeah, but you know, it's more complicated than that. Let's consider this. And see, people think it's a mark of intelligence that you're considering all these things. Well, you know, so-and-so said, and I see some merit in that, but you know, also so-and-so said other, and they think it makes them look smart because they're aware of 15 different positions. Okay, what do you believe?
Right.
Well, I see some merit in Dr. So-and-so's position, but I also see some merit. Hope you don't have to stand and believe for anything anytime soon because you are not ready. You will waver all over the place, and don't let him that wavers thinks he will receive anything of the Lord, James says. So he said, this is the confidence. Somebody say confidence, confidence, confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, how are we going to find out? If his words abide in you. His word is his will. If we ask anything according to his will, what do we know? Regardless of what we think, how we feel, how we don't feel, if he gave us a prayer in the scripture to pray, and we pray that prayer, do we have to check and see how we feel to see if God agrees with what he said?
No.
Or if he wants to do what he told us to pray and ask?
No.
No. We know, hallelujah, that he hears us. He hears us. We're talking about prayers that get answered.
Yes.
Prayers that get results. We know he hears us. Verse 15. And if we know that he hears us, something else, another box you can check. Whatever we asked, we know he heard us. How do I know that he heard me? Because I asked according to his will. How do I know I asked according to his will? I asked according to his word. His word and his spirit revealed his will to me. And while I was hanging out with him the other day for an hour and a half. Huh? He showed me in his word and by his spirit what his will is. And when that happened, faith came. Hallelujah. Faith came, and then I had confidence to pray a prayer. Come on, can you see this? I had confidence to lay hold and pray a prayer. And when I prayed that prayer, I didn't have to check to see how anybody felt. I knew it was the will of God. I knew he heard me. And I knew that I had been granted the petition that I desired of him. So all I got to do is expect and praise God. And watch and see. The salvation of the Lord.
Yes.
But does all church going people pray like that?
No, sir.
Nah, they're too busy. And they just throw something out and throw a bunch of stuff out, kind of like throwing mud against the wall, hoping some of it sticks. Hit and miss. Process of elimination. No, don't. You wind up doing some of that vain repetition stuff. And the Lord said, don't do that. Are you glad that we're learning?
Yes, sir.
Are you glad that we're growing?
Yes.
Are we going to develop in our communion with God so that when we pray a prayer, it's not a nothing, dumb, religious, wrong prayer. It's a prayer God hears.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And answers.
Yes,
glory to God. And then when things happen, even miracles happen, don't give the glory to you prayed. Give the glory to the God who heard the prayer and answered the prayer. Everybody stand, please. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
This ministry has been brought to you today, free of charge, by the partners of More Life Ministries and Faith Life Church. If you would like to help send this word to others at no charge, you can become a word sender today. For more information, visit our website at morelife.org.